Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. Nancy Bryan, how you doing, big guy?
I'm okay.
Working hard.
I'm just adjusting things in the rack, resetting a couple things, right as we go on the air. It's fine.
I know. I was watching you. I was concerned there for a moment.
So was I.
Would I sound sufficiently sexy and all that kind of stuff? I got Evan with me here in the world headquarters, lightly screening the calls at 844-967-2789. And Fancy Brian, I'm sad to announce. Well, I'm happy to announce we got some fine guests in this program. Batman joining me in studio 3:30 right here in Devil Radio World Headquarters. And a little bit later in the big show, James Santel, soon to be host right here on this fine radio network. Jim bringing his legal expertise, former U.S. attorney, and the 5 o'clock hour, 5:30 Central Time. Jim's joining. So excited about that. Dom will be along at 4. But I got to tell you, Fancy Brian, here's the sad part. Sad, but good, but sad. We're going to lead the show a little. Page 6. Even Santel, the former U.S. attorney, shared the coverage at the New York Times. There is a verdict in the big trial, the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp trial. We have a verdict. The jury's backed. And they came to the courtroom and they had a ruling and the judge sent them back out and said, you got to put a number on that piece of paper. This is a civil trial. It's not a guilty verdict. So go decide who gets paid what. And as near as I could tell, they both defamed each other. But she apparently lied worse about him. She is the greater defamer, so she owes him like a net $8.5 million. That was the finding of the jury. Johnny Depp defamed by his former wife, Amber Heard.
That's just awful for them.
Well, it will dominate the headlines. It's already dominating the phone. My phone's lighting up, as they say. So let me bring you the abridged version. And I got to be quite honest. I've seen a few snippets of the testimony. The what do we say in this industry, Fancy Brian? We do a little radio show each and every day. And, we set a low bar, but our basic standard is don't crap the bed. And Amber Heard, I heard the testimony. She literally, let's just say, crap the bed. Literally crap the bed. One of the more intriguing moments in the defamation trial. I'll just read a little from the Raw story. Where else would I get the coverage from? Oh, and there's more. There's more than just this. There's another page 6 story about Hunter Biden. The righties were breathless about this story. Hunter Biden was submitting videos of himself to Pornhub. So reports the Daily Mail. Well, the
dude was a drug addict. I'm pretty sure he was ready to go and do a lot of things.
Well, we'll report that aspect of the page 6 in just a moment. But let me give you the lead in the, Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. Because he sued her and then she countersued him for $100 million. He sued her for $50 million. She said what he did is twice as bad, $100 million. Jury determined Wednesday that actor Johnny Depp was defamed, I tell you, by allegations from his former wife, Amber Heard, In all allegations of defamation, the jury found Ford Depp overheard saying that he has proven all elements of defamation. We'll have to ask the former U.S. attorney. I'm sure he can't wait to, you know, break it down for us. Prior to the verdict, Judge Penny Ascarte read the verdict but sent the jurors back to the room saying they must decide a number for compensatory.
May I? Compensatory?
Yeah, thank you. God bless it, man. And punitive damages.
I had an issue today with the
compensatory.
Yeah.
Compensatory.
It happens. It happens.
It does to me. But, you know, when my brain shuts down and in mid-sentence, in real time on the radio, it's I got to tell you, at this point, I'm not even embarrassed anymore.
Well, and from somebody who does that myself, I know it's easier just to let you keep going, because otherwise we put a train in you, put a hitch in your thought, and then now we're talking about this again.
Damn it, man. Crudy, if you just, you know, just hadn't smoked so much weed in college. Depp was awarded $10 million in compensatory damages. See what I did? I pulled myself through. $10 million in compensatory damages and $5 million for punitives. The actor, who sued for $50 million in damages over a 2018 essay by Heard published in the Washington Post. Now, they did, craft this letter, Heard and like a PR firm together. They wrote an op-ed saying, you know, she said, I am the face of domestic violence. A little bit more. She indirectly referred to allegations of abuse she had made against him in their 2016 divorce. Heard then countersued for $100 million, saying she had only resorted to violence in defense of herself or her sister. Somebody, right? Heard's story was considered to be false, and they found for Depp. Heard's countersuit cited statements made by Depp's former attorney describing her allegations of abuse as a hoax. In one count of her allegations, she alleged that Depp and his lawyer lied about her. In that count, Depp was found to have defamed Heard. So you got to have a scorecard. Got to do a little math here. She was given $2 million in compensatory damages and zero in punitive damages. Jury didn't like her as much. Essentially, let's break it on down. Essentially, the court decided that she lied about his abuse and that in a few of his attacks after her allegations, he lied about some of the details of her falsifying a physical abuse scene in a Daily Mail article. According to Depp and his lawyer, she and her friends trashed the house after he left so that she could call the police and allege he abused her. There was no testimony on that claim, and the jury found that as a result, that claim fell under the liability for defamation. After the allegations, Depp was dropped as the lead role in the Harry Potter sequel, Fantastic Beasts. He was also removed from the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. You know, he was the rummy guy, right? What was his character's name? I know
why
you.
Why is the rum always gone?
Yeah,
Captain
why?
Jack Sparrow.
Apparently rum was, you know, their drinking source. The sailors, they drank rum.
Well, yeah, they found all the sugar cane. It's made from sugar.
He was also removed from the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise after he and Heard's agent, Christian Carino, attributed to Heard's allegations. That's what they are saying. So Carino testified that Disney never directly said that the abuse accusations were the cause of Depp being dropped, but it was understood. Heard had evidence of the couple's fights while Depp was under the influence, and prior to rehab, he attempted to detox off opiates and alcohol while married to Heard, People magazine reported. He didn't think he could do it. The change after a conversation, he was back on board, said Beverly Hills doctor David Kipper. His text messages were read as part of the trial. He also testified that there were concerns Depp was abusing Xanax during the marriage. Heard, by contrast, was being seen by Depp fans as an abuser herself. She is the abuser, fancy. A recording played in court taunted him as someone who would be mocked for claiming he was an abused male. Tell the world, Johnny, she said in the recording from 16. Tell them, I, Johnny Depp, a man, a victim, too, of domestic abuse. She also testified she would frequently scream at him and call him names. A Well, that doesn't seem quite right. It is unclear if Depp will move forward with any lawsuits against Disney after his agent's testimony that his role was influenced by the abuse allegations. And Heard maintained her allegations were true in a statement responding to the verdict. She attacked the court decision in a statement after the fact, saying it will hurt women everywhere who allege abuse. She went on to say that it will set the clock back on women who spoke up and spoke out, and they will be publicly shamed and humiliated. So anyways, the verdict is in. And Johnny Depp apparently won the preponderance of the money. I guess so. He's the winner by virtue of the somebody's writing a check and it's not him. Do you see him as the winner? I don't see any winners from this trial.
No, I think they pretty much were treating each other like crap. And I'm pretty sure that it was just like a popularity contest at the end of the day. And Johnny Depp was way ahead to begin with. So,
where are the roses? Was it her role in Aquaman? I don't even recall her in Aquaman.
She was the princess type of character that said, hey, you should do this, and brought him back to being Aquaman. Good for you.
Whenever I need to default to, you know, pop culture, you're my guy, Fancy.
I know only enough to get by.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to bring you up to speed because we got a little more pop culture, a little more Page Six news. And, you know, it was another hump day for Crudy. I was out driving around in the car doing a few business things, a few business errands, and put on Righty Whitey Talk Radio. And they were breathless about the coverage at the Daily Mail. I thought to myself, oh, I'm going to have to go look this up. But there is lots of coverage at this moment of Hunter Biden starring in his own amateur porn videos on Pornhub and apparently linking one to Dad. And more bad news for Hunter. Apparently his ex-wife, well, she's wrote a tell-all book. So a bad news day for Hunter Biden. But, you know, I thought we'd cleanse the palate. Can't be all politics all the time.
It is summer.
We're going to clear off the Page Six. Then we'll do politics with Batman in like 10 minutes after more Page Six.
What's so civil about war anyway?
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
I know you are, but what am I?
Who cares?
Why is the rum always gone?
This is what it sounds like when the doves cry. It's rising.
Listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Now, welcome to the stage, it's Hunter.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the hump day edition. We're putting the hump in hump day, Fancy Brian. Some breathless righty whitey talk radio host, Clay and Buck, I think we call them.
Yeah.
Couple of porn stars in their own right. At least they got porn names, Clay and Buck.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could do a quick search and find Clay and Buck. Private search. You should do a private search first. That way you don't have to ruin your history afterwards.
Well, they were sort of breathless about a couple of articles at the Daily Mail. And I gotta be honest with you, Fancy. Not one of my go-to sources. You know, I'm a raw story guy. But the Daily Mail, a couple of headlines, intriguing to these guys. Not even top of the page, kind of buried down the page, page six, sort of. Here's one of them. Hunter Biden's ex-wife reveals how she threw him out after finding a crack pipe, and her daughter uncovered his affair with Bo's widow, Haley. Now, that is kind of sordid.
Yeah.
And how he admitted to cheating with prostitutes in a bombshell new book. So her name is Kathleen Buell, and she's the ex-wife of Hunter. And so anyways, they got this little article, little clipper dealer bop. And then down the page, just a little further, they've got an exclusive, Fancy Brian. Exclusive. This one's got them all titillated over on Right Wing Talk Radio. And, you know, we try to be fair and balanced here, so... You know, if there's a little page six for the left, there's a little page six for the right. And we're going to get to the page six for Gableman, although that's a mental image none of us want to see. But anyways, Hunter Biden starred in his own amateur porn fits on Pornhub and once linked dad on his phone. Laptop history reveals obsession with 18-year-olds, lonely widow, and MILF crack cocaine porn. MILF, is that a thing?
If there is even remotely a thing, there's a video of it on one of the major porn sites, yes.
Well, it is, you know, sort of a brief article here. And, you know, I'm just going to jump in because I can read it in a minute or two. We'll got time for this. I know the audience is dying to hear the breaking on Hunter Biden. It's got right wing talk radio. Just, you know, Clay's got a tingle down his leg. I can hear it in his voice. So anyways, Hunter Biden's internet search history reveals an obsession with porn, including incest fantasies. 18-year-old, lonely widow porn, MILF crack cocaine porn. I've never heard of the MILF crack cocaine porn.
Funny they mention incest fantasies, Donald Trump.
As well as instructions on how to hack a lover's cell phone and repeated Google searches of himself. So he had a little narcissist in him.
Or maybe he's just trying to see, did I post that last night? Is it going to come up?
The browsing history list covers just 6 days in March 2019 before Hunter 52 broke his laptop, took it to be repaired at a Delaware shop, and then abandoned it. But it is packed full of revealing and disturbing websites. I'm sorry, Fancy.
I just want to say, you know, as one of the drunkest states in the entire country, I do have to say, have you ever looked at your web history after you've been drinking and then you checked your web history in the morning? Imagine that, but then being like, I don't know, a really serious drug addict as well. I'm not surprised they haven't found more crazy stuff on there.
Well, apparently Hunter Biden visited 281 websites.
Only?
Over 6 days. 98 were pornographic.
That's nothing.
Wait, what sort of a ratio is that? 181.
You go to one, you go to 10 because there's 10 pop-ups at least.
So a third of his browser history is porn sites, apparently. And dozens of videos found on the laptop also revealed his penchant for filming himself having sex with prostitutes and posing the home movies of his own Pornhub account under the username RH East.
Last time I checked, if he's going to film it with intent to distribute, that is not prostitution. That is actually just making porn.
Great point. Great point. He's an artiste. A little bit more. The president's son took care not to show his face in his uploaded videos. On top of his pornography and prostitute interest, Hunter was a regular user of sex cam sites. His search history includes 5 visits to adult cam website, glasscams.com, and screen recordings he made on his computer that show him naked, interacting live with women on the site.
Wow.
So anyways, that
happened. So he's a regular American? That's crazy.
So, you know, the Clay and Buck, the, you know, the aptly named big lie porn stars of Righty Whitey Talk Radio. They were so titillized by these stories. And they said, can you imagine what would happen if there were any of these accusations made against any of the Trump adult children? I'm like, yeah, no one's ever linked Don Jr. to drug use.
But they have linked, you know, incestual thoughts to maybe, I don't know, Ivanka. And on top of that, if you have a problem with people posing nude and things like that, do you have a problem with Burt Reynolds? Because he was in Playgirl. So was Oak Creek native John Matuszak, as well as Wesley Snipes, Scott Bakula, Brad Pitt. Go back through the years. There's a whole bunch of people who posed in Playgirl that you don't even remember about.
I don't think this is Playgirl style. You know,
my point is that that has evolved over the years.
I'm
Tila Tequila is going around for Donald Trump, isn't she? I mean, come on.
Fancy, you've left me momentarily speechless.
I'm just saying that who are you people to go and even throw any aspersions at this guy Do you even know what you're talking about before you get shocked?
You know, I kind of feel like I'm TMZ over here today. We've had the verdict of the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. He apparently defamed her less than she defamed him. And we also have the breathless, sordid tales of Hunter Biden being published over at the Daily Mail and a book by his ex-wife. Apparently not real positive. And, oh, one other not positive. Headline, Gableman, $200,000 over budget already. We'll talk about it with Batman. Matt Rothschild joins me in studio next.
Is this a dating video?
And that's when the whores come in.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. We welcome back the returning champ. He's Batman. He's Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, welcome back, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Trudy. Thanks for having me back.
Well, I appreciate you answering the call. Wanted to start today, well, unless you want to talk about the Johnny Depp Amber Heard.
No, I'll take a pass on that one.
I wish everyone wishes I would have taken a pass. But anyways, let's turn to the politics. The Gableman. Gableman has far exceeded his budget. I thought that was the one assurance we'd been given by Robin Voss. This red herring of an investigation would not be over budget. It's vastly over budget.
It's about 25% over budget already. Remember, Voss said the budget was $676,000. Well, it's coming in already at $896,500, getting close to $900,000. It's going to break $1 million before he's done. And oh, that's easily. Our money. That's,
easily.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all sorts of open litigation, if you believe Gableman and the whole rationale for keeping him on at half pay, right? Waiting for the courts, waiting for the lawsuits to come around.
I mean, it's your money. It's the listeners. Anyone who's listening right now in your car or in your home or at your office, you're paying for this clown who's been running this circus that just won't leave town.
Well, you know what? Here's if there's a silver lining, man, I think this is it. The fact that Gableman is still on the payroll and the fact that they got to keep him, what, healthy and ready for the litigation to come, you know, got to go fight those mayors. Well, all those things probably preempt any thoughts of, what, putting Gableman on the Wisconsin Elections Commission? I mean, that's been bantered about quite a bit lately.
I hope so. I mean, Senator Kathy Bernier said she'd hit the roof if Voss appointed him to the Wisconsin Elections Commission to replace the retiring Dean Knutson. Actually, Senator Bernier has thrown her hat in the ring, saying that she is the most qualified Republican. I actually think it's true to be on that commission because she's a former clerk and head of the Wisconsin State Senate Committee on Elections. But the base would not like Senator Bernier on there either. So, yeah, there was talk about Voss appointing Gableman, and then I thought maybe he would because he said he wants a lawyer there. I can't believe he'll do that at this point. The other worry was that Gableman was going to run for Wisconsin Supreme Court next spring. I don't think that's likely to happen now either, but who knows?
You know, Matt, it's interesting that Gableman and Bernier, at least amongst Republicans, they're sort of polar opposites. And in fact, one of the interesting tidbits in the reporting of Patrick Marley at the Journal Sentinel is that Gableman reimbursed the state of Wisconsin $234, not for going out to see Maricopa County and the Cyber Ninjas, not for going out to the Cyber Symposium by Mike Lindell in South Dakota, that we, the taxpayers, paid for.
And Voss said we wouldn't have to, but we ended up paying the bill for it.
But the $234 he's returning is for when he went to the Chippewa Falls Republican Party dealy bop and traveled there to basically trash Bernier in her own district.
Told her she should resign. But yeah, I mean, it was such a partisan thing that he couldn't, I don't think Voss could really justify it. So, but what's $234 when his trip to South Dakota with Mike Lindell was paid for and his trip to the Ninjas in Arizona was paid for?
Yeah, that's quite interesting. And of course, the running tab apparently just soon to crest over $1 million. And what about this office? Again, in the reporting, it would appear the office is, what, vacant? They had the shared office with the liposuction clinic, and sort of late in the contract, they bought some furniture. And what, if they abandoned office, has Gable been zooming it in at this late hour?
Lord knows, you know, what he's doing or where he's working, but this is, you know, the ringmaster of this pathetic circus that he's been running now for upwards of a year and getting close to upwards of 900 grand. And it's a huge embarrassment to the state. I think it's a huge embarrassment and kind of a nightmare for Robin Voss, but it's a nightmare of his own making. I mean, he hired Gableman. There were other capable Republican lawyers out there. He could have hired Rick Essenberg, Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, to do this
thing. Yeah, but the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty had already come to the determination there was no widespread voter fraud, Batman.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, even people like Rick Essenberg, who runs the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, no idiot, said out loud in their report there wasn't widespread fraud. Knutson, Deed Knutson, took a parting shot when he said he's resigning and said there is no fraud here. Kathy Bernier said it's all a charade. So there are sensible Republicans out there who want to bring the Republican Party back to reality, you know, instead of, you know, just engaging in ridiculous falsehood. And those who are engaging in the ridiculous falsehood, Gableman, Janelle Branchon, your friend Rampton, you know,
our buddy.
I mean, these people are not only are for falsehood over truth, but therefore authoritarianism over democracy. And they just want raw power, and they want to, you know, get rid of any of the guardrails protecting the norms of democracy and just throw it all out.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got Batman live in studio here, Madison, Wisconsin World Headquarters. And we're talking about the ongoing, the embarrassment of this ongoing investigation. And the embarrassment is, of course, it started with a guy who admitted effectively he was corrupted. He already had a preconceived notion from day one. Gableman said it was rigged publicly, came out and said it was rigged.
2 days after the election, with no investigation, no facts whatsoever, just said he doesn't want bureaucrats stealing our election. He told a Trump crowd right after the election. And then Voss appointed him.
Well, think about the interesting, the selling of the soul that Robin Voss has made. And this all predicated on the fact that, what, Donald Trump called him down to Alabama, got on a private plane, flew with Trump to an Alabama rally for Trump, where he was probably crapping on some candidate he didn't like or whatever the case may be. But Robin Voss, once he took the bait, once he went and kneeled at the throne of Trump, well, now he's stuck. And you know, Bernier knows that this is false. I mean, hell, we've been playing the ads, the People for People, People ads here, right here on the radio station.
I mean, that's Paul Ryan. That's the former Speaker of the Assembly from Janesville who's saying there wasn't a fraud.
Well, not only that, but that's Ron Johnson doing the math exactly, and justifying the fact that it wasn't a rigged election, not here in the state of Wisconsin. Ron, I get confused. Those two very similar. Donald Trump effectively didn't turn out the same number of votes that Republican congressional and assembly candidates did. And it was like 51,000 differential, as Ron Johnson is caught on tape saying. So Ron knows it's a fraud, but if we believe the reporting, man, Ron Johnson is the big impetus while this otherwise moderate Republican, Dean Knutson, jumped off the board. When Ron Johnson calls and said, "You've lost the confidence of the party, son." Well, the guy thought it was time to fall on his sword.
You know, I kind of wish, first of all, Ron Johnson doesn't say in public what you got on tape and running that ad all the time that, you know, the election wasn't stolen. I'd like to hear Ron Johnson say that in public. I also think Dean Knutson, though I applaud him for telling the truth and throwing cold water on the heads of these Republicans who want to say 2 plus 2 is 5, you know, if he was really courageous, he would have stayed on and said, you know, "I'm going to be the next chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. I was appointed by Robin Voss. He hasn't told me to go. So I'm going to stay and I'm going to be chair." He could have been chair because the Democrats would have voted for him.
Now Voss has a tremendous quandary because the engagement level of the right is predicated on the big lie. They built on this foundation of sand. And as soon as their side stops believing that it was rigged and that they got screwed, well, then they lose their engagement level. But the only way to keep stoking the fire is to keep feeding the monster. So you need Gableman, and hell, you know, Robin Voss might need a crazy loon bat like Gabelman on the Elections Commission. But of course, it comes at the undermining of democracy. And quite frankly, it could split the Republican Party. That's what I'm cheering for, Matt.
And they also have they already have a loon on the Wisconsin Elections Commission and Bob Spindell, one of the false electors who wouldn't recuse himself from the complaint to the Wisconsin Elections Commission from Law Forward that they should investigate the false electors.
Now, Matt, did you see that Dana Nessel, the attorney general of the state of Michigan, is apparently preparing charges against the false electors in the state of Michigan? Now, she also referred to the Department of Justice and said, clearly, you know, this follows a pattern. This is multi-jurisdictional, and it's more than just the state of Michigan. Therefore, I defer to the DOJ, but she's also separately preparing state-level charges, or at least reportedly, bringing state-level charges against the fake electors in Michigan. Now, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, and it was a 6-0, Matt, so it wasn't a partisan. There's clearly not a clear precedent in the law that says you can't be a fake elector and go turn against the will of the voters, or I believe the Wisconsin Elections Commission would have found something differently. It might have been a 3-3, it might have been a 4-1 or a 4-2, but the fact it was a 6-0, I don't think Mark Thompson and Ann Jacobs went along with the false electors premise. I think there's just not a law prohibiting it unless you go a little bit deeper and think, well, maybe they're committing fraud.
Yeah, I think
maybe it's a criminal charge, not a simple elections complaint.
I think there are laws that they could have said were being violated. And, you know, I can't.
But they're not an investigatory body. The Elections Commission's just evaluating, you know, is it illegal under campaign law? And if it is not currently illegal, well, then it's not illegal.
Not illegal under campaign law, but there are other laws that it might be illegal.
Yes, under. I concur.
And so where is Attorney General Josh Call?
Where is Attorney General Josh Call? I mean, really, man, shouldn't the guy's up for re-election, and maybe he didn't want to come off as a partisan, but he has said plenty of things that toe the party line. It's not like Josh Call isn't saying anything political currently. Where is Josh Call? Why would he not be the proper authority to find charge if merited? And I mean, man, the evidence is in public. They send it to the National Archives. How do you not have enough evidence to charge fraud?
And you know, I think people over at Law Forward have been asking Josh Call, are you going to investigate? I mean, they asked DA Ozan here in Dane County to investigate. And to my mind, he hasn't started an investigation. I don't know if he flat out said, I'm not going to do anything.
I believe Chisholm in Milwaukee County, their office deferred, said this is not a local jurisdictional issue.
Well, any DA, especially DA here in Madison, where it happened, could bring a charge. Josh Call could bring a charge. Merrick Garland, of course, could bring a charge too. But yeah, I want Josh Call to get off the dime on this.
Is that what we're waiting for? We're waiting for the Federal Department of Justice, if they don't act. Because, Matt, I mean, you're a good governance guy. I'd like to think my heart's with good governance, you know, even if that doesn't advantage my team all the time. But Matt, this cannot be permitted. We can't allow cycle after cycle, you know, both parties, what, run out false electors? And you just throw them against the wall and see what sticks. And if, you know, if no one stops you, you just take the presidency. I mean, that's the plan, right?
Well, this is what I mean. The guardrails are down, and they're just running over our democracy here by just saying, I don't care what the vote count is, our guy won. You know,
well, that's the
like it or lump it. I mean, it's real playground bully stuff.
What's the new, I'm terrible with the name, the Pennsylvania, the Trump-endorsed Mastriano guy. I mean, that effectively, he's being forward-thinking. You know, let me tell you how I'm going to rule on the next election. Because the will of the people, the votes of the people no longer matter, at least that's the way they'd like to set it up. Are you concerned about the Wisconsin Republicans sort of setting a trap for Doug LaFollette and for the elections? And if effectively they win the Secretary of State's office and Doug LaFollette's 84, I think he'll win re-election. But if he doesn't, and they've got the governor's office, etc., Matt, I think they plan on stealing the apparatus of the elections here.
Yes, they want to destroy the Wisconsin Election Commission. either hand the duties over to the Secretary of State, if it's a Republican, Amy Laudenbach, or just say it's up to the legislature, us, to administer the elections and certify the elections. So we're in charge, and if we don't like what the vote count is, we're going to say our guy won anyway. That's voter, not voter suppression. That's voter nullification.
Now, do you think our boy Robin Voss would, you know, stand by the will of the voters if he loses his primary here? Or do you think if it was his, within his legislative will, he would retain himself because, you know, he owes it to the people?
That would be a tough one. If the Republican voters throw him out, he's going to be hard-pressed to stay in power.
Come back. I got Batman in studio. He's Matt Rothschild. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. I got to find Co-Devil for at least a little bit longer. Hell, he's going to stick around till Dom joins us at 4 o'clock. My fine co-devil, Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Call him Batman around here. Matt, I've got to wonder, are you looking forward to the January 6th committee, the public hearings starting on June 9th? Sort of an early birthday gift for yours truly.
When's the birthday?
Oh, me and Dom, we're both Geminis. I'm June 12th. He's June 14th.
Oh, really?
He shares a birthday with Trump.
Oh, God. I am definitely looking forward to the hearings. I'm hoping that they get a lot of viewership and listenership, and I hope America comes to realize how close we came to losing our democracy on January 6th, and that people see how high the mountain of evidence is that Trump was behind this whole thing to overturn our democracy.
Now, they're supposed to do the first public hearing is going to be in primetime, man. My understanding, 7, 8 o'clock at night. We will play it live right here on Devil Radio in the Shaw and across the network. But I would hope it's half as compelling as the Amber Heard Johnny Depp spin to the American people. Because when it's pop culture, Matt, oh, it's got an audience. But when it's just, you know, democracy at stake, will the American people care? Will this be a game changer? Will this be a modern day Watergate? And will this be made, you know, perhaps with the pace of a movie like Maverick? They need to keep it moving for the American people. Short attention spans.
Well, I do hope they have some decent producers on, you know, on the payroll here. And, you know, let's remember, Watergate wasn't riveting for quite a while, unless you like Sam Irvin's bouncing eyebrows. But ultimately, it got riveting when John Dean testified. And so the question is, how slow is it going to be before the fireworks start? I kind of like your idea that I heard while I was driving around while you were listening to your show, when you said, give it to Liz Cheney. Let her run the show. I think Liz Cheney is gold, and they need to bring her forward.
Well, apparently there will be one House manager effectively for each day of the impeachment. And the first one, June 9th, will be the primetime affair. And then the following week, sort of interspersed around our birthdays, June 13th, which I believe is the Monday, June 15th, and then I believe like June 16th, and then they were going to wrap up again with, I believe, June 21st. I'll have to check my calendar. But effectively, five or six public hearings through the middle of June, and sort of culminating with another primetime conclusion, the summary, the verdict, guilty, at least hopefully in the, you know, court of public opinion.
Yeah, what we're looking for is people to just kind of gasp, ultimately to have a feeling of revulsion and disgust at what Trump was trying to pull off, and kind of an, oh my God, I didn't realize that Trump was behind this. I didn't realize that he really was not going to leave office and didn't care what the votes were. He was just going to stay in power no matter what. And
didn't realize he was cheering for the hanging of his vice president,
yes, that
apparently
was
in real time.
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to stun any on the right? Do you think they're thinking, yeah, we should hang Mike Pence? Or do you think they're thinking, wow, maybe that's a line the president shouldn't cross, cheering for the insurrectionist to hang the VP?
I mean, we've been waiting for 5 or 6 years for people to get fed up with Trump and the outrageous things that he has said. But yeah, cheering for your vice president to get hanged by a mob, that you have ginned up is probably the lowest of the low. And I would hope that, yeah, all but the people on Righty Whitey Talk Radio, as you call them, are going to be a lot of folks in Republican land, and independents and suburban moms are going to look at this and say, this is just a little bit too far. And now, I can't be on board with this anymore.
Do you think they'll lay out the evidence against the Jim Jordans of the world and perhaps the Mo Brooks and the Scott Perrys? Jim Jordan, I saw a timeline. He was very intimately involved in the calls as early as like November 6th. Like, hey, this doesn't feel right. Let's find justification to overturn the election. And then you look at differing planning stages. Jim Jordan was a participant in the calls. And we know that Eastman, this John Eastman, this guy that apparently worked at a private institution but suddenly became the acting, Attorney General of the United States and maybe soon to be more? This guy had a coup plot, effectively. And you knew that it was illegal, acknowledged as much in different emails with, I believe it was Mark Jacob, who was the vice president's counsel. But Eastman continues to come to the state of Wisconsin and met with Robin Voss about a month and a half, 2 months ago, and still thinks we can decertify the last election, Matt. Still wants to overturn it. I'm waiting for a perp walk, man.
Yeah, but, you know, ultimately those are the little fish. And the question is, are they going to get the big fish? And Trump's the big fish. And I'm waiting, as you are, for Merrick Garland Day and that indictment to come down on Trump. And I assume when these hearings are over that the time for stalling at the U.S. Attorney General's office is over. And Merrick Garland is going to have to get off the pot here and give us some indictments.
I hear that Trump, and, you know, I have no particular insight other than the reporting I read, but Trump is getting anxious to get out there and start campaigning. And my thought process is he's anxious to beat the indictments, because whether it's Fulton County in Georgia, whether it's, you know, perhaps the Attorney General of the state of New York, or whether it's the Department of Justice, an indictment's coming down sooner or later against Donald Trump. And of course, if he's a candidate, an active candidate for the presidency, he can claim, well, it's a political witch hunt, and perhaps have just enough cover fire to kind of live out the string, win the presidency again, and give himself a blanket pardon.
Well, I'm sure that's what he's hoping for. But, you know, I'm not convinced ultimately that he's going to run. I mean, you know, I do think he's going to be indicted by someone. I think the Georgia indictments are going to come. I mean, how much more evidence do you need than please find me, you know, 11,780 votes? I mean, that's on tape. I mean, you can't dodge that bullet.
You don't think he should have done that?
I mean, that's election tampering
and Carter.
Plain and simple, right in front of everybody.
What about the claims of election fraud, the newest claims in the Georgia Republican primary that David Perdue lost 3-1?
That's a whole heap of fraud.
Rigged primary.
Yeah.
When you start leveling the accusations against the partisan primaries, man, there's no democracy left.
I mean, these are the worst spoiled sports in the history of athletic competitions, political competitions, you name it.
You know, Mo Brooks rationalized how it could be a rigged election at the top of the ticket, but his election completely valid. Do you know what his logic was?
No.
Well, you know, we don't have these problems in Republican primaries because the illegals only vote in the general election.
It had to come down to that.
Finally. Well, we'd recognize them if they're voting in a Republican primary. Wouldn't look like ours, if you know what we're saying. Matt Rothschild, my fine guest. I think he's going to stick around just a bit longer. Dom joins at the top of the four. Hope you stick around. More Devil's Advocates, the Hump Day Edition.
Shame on you.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?